You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you.
I'm Newt Gingrich.
I'm Mitt Romney.
I'm Rick Santorum, and we have a lot of troubles.
You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Hosted by Stacy Waite and Scott Winter.
Welcome to our Super Tuesday edition of Air Schooner. You're listening to episode 4.
Thanks to our production assistants, Catherine Larson and Franny Sprouse, for tracking down those clips. And thanks to Stacy Waite for bringing Air Schooners, its remote studio on the road, to AWP conference in Chicago. What'd you find out while you were out there, Stacy?
Well, I found out a lot of great things when I was out there, and I went to a lot of great panels and readings, did some great interviews for Air Schooner in my room that will be airing this season. And one of the greatest things I went to was Kaveh Khanum's conversation between Nikki Giovanni and Thomas Sayers Ellis. And Nikki Giovanni's going to be on our show today, so that's pretty exciting. And Thomas Sayers Ellis is going to be on a future show this season. So I guess the one thing I learned is that here at Air Schooner, we've got our hand on the pulse of what's going on, Scott.
And I think the media is on the pulse of this election. And since it was Super Tuesday week this week, you were able to talk to some of these writers about how they felt about Super Tuesday and what you called the Super Tuesday Challenge. How'd that go?
It went really well. Some really brave writers agreed to answer my Super Tuesday Challenge questions.
And they had to do it blindly, right? Like, you didn't tell them what you were going to ask them, and they just had to react
to
it.
No, they just had to agree to answer silly and or weird question about the upcoming election.
Okay, so we got multiple writers, and who are we going to start with?
We're going to start with Jennifer Sinor, who's a nonfiction writer. She wrote the book The Extraordinary Work of Ordinary Writing. She writes a lot about landscapes and bodies. She's a really descriptive writer. So I started by asking her a Super Tuesday Challenge, so we're going to air that.
Okay, here we go.
Which of the Republican candidates would you think was most interesting to describe and why?
Most interesting to describe.
Physically, no.
They're so bland. Okay, most interesting... Mitt Romney, because of his scary eyebrows, maybe? I'm not sure. They sort of, if I have to think of them, they sort of blur together, don't they? They kind of become one landscape in my mind, and it's somewhat deserty, I want to say. West Texas, just not a lot of interesting features. So, yes.
Nice, good. Good job. All right.
Poets Maureen Seaton and Samuel Ace, who collaboratively wrote the book Stealth, are about to take our Super Tuesday challenge. And what I'm going to ask you guys to do is to write a spontaneous Super Tuesday haiku. You ready? Go.
This is Arizona.
Memory at sound.
Weep were spicy.
Serious, these photographs.
Foreign.
Wow, that was profound, you guys. It was very deep. Thank you very much.
So I'm with poet Ruth Schwartz. Her forthcoming book, Miraculum, is coming out with Autumn House Press, where her previous book has also come out with Dear Good Naked Morning is the previous collection. And I'm going to ask Ruth one of our Super Tuesday questions, which is, if you had to encapsulate the sort of Republican primary here coming up for Super Tuesday into one word, one succinct poetic word, Ruth Schwartz, what would it be?
I don't think it's arable. I think most of them would have four letters.
I hear that. Or shorter. We're going to give Cynthia Hogue one of our Super Tuesday challenges. You know those slogans, you know, they all have? Restoring our future, or like all those kind of slogans. So let's pick a candidate like Rick Santorum. Let's pick him. What should be his real slogan? What should be the thing on the banner above his head when he's talking for real?
Take the super out of Super Tuesday. Vote for me.
Man, those writers are pretty funny. I wouldn't expect writers to be able to perform on the spot like that. Were they worried about that?
Some of them made kind of a face, and you know, I tried to be as charming as I could to be like, "Don't worry. If you don't like it, we won't air it." You know, and so they did a really good job, I thought, and they were really funny. And in particular, Cynthia Hogue, the last clip we heard, she's going to be on our show today. I got to catch up with her at the conference, and we had a long talk. Let me tell you a little bit about Cynthia Hogue. Cynthia Hoag has published 7 books of poetry, most recently The Incognito Body and her newest collection, Or Consequence. She has co-authored the book When the Water Came, Evacuees of Hurricane Katrina, a book that gathers interview poems with photographs by Rebecca Ross. Among her honors are a Fulbright Fellowship, a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship in Poetry, the HD Fellowship at Yale University, and an Arizona Commission on the Arts Project grant. Hoag is professor of English at Arizona State University, where she's the Maxine and Jonathan Marshall Chair in Modern and Contemporary Poetry.
The green card is not green. Patriotism assumes that our globe is divided into little spots, each one surrounded by an iron gate. Emma Goldman. An alien married to an American receives a conditional green card, which is a green card whose conditions must be removed after 2 years. The Department of Homeland Security allows what it calls a window in which to apply for the removal of these conditions, after which, if the couple miss the window, it is closed. May 15th, 2005. 1. The couple look through this window that is time, blocked out, and space in no space. The window is neither open nor closed. It is before them. They are before it. They poise on its sill between inside and outside the legal, balanced, out of balance, liminal, marginal. Time determines whether they trespass or freely stay. The couple are told that processing takes a year and a receipt will be issued that allows the resident alien to travel. And so it was, the couple traveled, not leaving the country but the state, from one to another, as from happiness to unhappiness, or from contentment to discontent. In May, the couple stayed in the same country, across the country, where lilacs bloomed, the deep purple and pale lavender honeying the air each morning. One day, the couple received a letter. The resident alien's application to have conditions removed from his green card was approved in 14 days. His case was such an open book that it changed the couple's story. Now to leave the country, the alien resident needed a stamp. To stamp a passport takes a minute. It is the same stamp everywhere because it is the same Department of Homeland Security, the same homeland. But the stamp must be delivered not anywhere in the homeland, but only at home. Why is never explained, but that is repeated often. That.
There are other places in the world where poetry is listened to for different reasons or in different ways. And what do you think it is that this poets are suspected of revolution and therefore they, let's put them in the university and keep them there, right? So do you ever think about fantasize about a world where maybe there would be another audience besides, in a sense, each other?
Well, I think there are things that are shifting. Because you can't think about what has happened with performance art, performance poetry, slam, spoken word, and performative aspects, that you can't say that poetry is no longer reaching people. Mm-hmm. Rita Dove just got, I think it was a National Medal of Honor. Last I checked, she was a poet.
You know, poets and writers are suspected of revolutionary impulses. You know, I think one of the most revolutionary poets of our time, someone we're about to hear on our show here today, is Nikki Giovanni.
Yeah, I think it's important that politics is examined by writers, and some writers argue that isn't happening enough today in the professional and academic writing worlds. And Nikki Giovanni is one of those critics. She's the author of 30 books of poetry and children's poetry, and the University Distinguished Professor at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, where Air Schooner Research Assistant Robert Fugli was able to reach her to talk politics and the writer.
poet, activist, children's book author, and teacher of writing at Virginia Tech. Nikki Giovanni, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
You began your writing career as one of the primary voices in what's called the Black Arts Movement, mm-hmm. the sort of artistic wing of the Black Power Movement of the 1960s, mm-hmm. Which was a very militant, highly confrontational, unapologetically political poetry. Mm-hmm. Now, has your work remained as political throughout your career as it was then, or is it political in a different way?
I think somebody else said that, you know, all art is propaganda, but not all propaganda is art.
Right.
And so in terms of what I'm trying to do, I'm still trying to look at the world in which I'm living and see what truths are coming to me. I'm not, you know, I don't run for office. I'm not a cult. People don't follow me, you know, so I don't have any of those kind of responsibilities or any of that, those burdens on my shoulders. I can just always look at the world as I see it, and I think that that's a good thing. The world has changed. I grew up in the era of segregation. The death of Emmett Till really did inform our generation so much mm-hmm. because he was our age, and it was such a horrible thing
right.
that we really did feel we have to try to change the world. We have to stand up a little taller and speak out a little more. We did what we did, and I think we did an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of my generation. We stopped a war. We empowered women. We stopped segregation, overt segregation. Things have moved forward. Maybe we would like to see it move a little more. Well, actually, the hip-hop generation elected a president. So, mm-hmm. You know, we are seeing movement. And that's all you ask. You know, a society is a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to move.
The South African writer Nadine Gordimer once said that you know, the political is very much bound up with the personal, and that in her case, that any South African writer, you know, writing under apartheid in that charged situation, couldn't help but be a political writer, you know, given the charged context in which mm-hmm. she had to create. Would you say something similar about African American writers?
I would say something similar about white American writers.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand how we get so much naval contemplation and so many vampires and so so little information. So I think that, you know, we tend to want to say, oh, the black writers should do this, but I think the white writers have some responsibilities that they have totally defaulted on.
Mm. Well, that sort of leads to my next question. Some critics of MFA and other writing programs allege, you know, to what you just said, that quite a bit of American literary fiction and poetry have come to have an overly inward, sort of domestic, navel-gazing focus, mm-hmm. as you put it, sort of wallowing in the self rather
yeah.
than engaging with the wider world. And you've been a teacher in such programs for a long time,
mm-hmm.
including Virginia Tech. Obviously, you obviously agree with that criticism, at least to some extent.
Oh, to a great extent.
Okay.
So I just can't imagine. I mean, the world is so exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a novelist. I am a poet.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think the novelists have absolutely defaulted. And when we look at the questions, you know, we're still having questions. Actually, there's a big push right now that women ought to be really upset about, you know, because the pushback on reproductive rights.
Absolutely.
And I don't see how you can be in an MFA program and that's not the novel you're writing on or that's not, you know, the questions that you're addressing. We've been at war now for over 10 years.
Right.
And I just don't see how we're not addressing that.
I don't know, Scott. You know, I'm thinking I might vote for a Giovanni Hogue ticket in this upcoming election. What do you think? I think they do a great job.
Yeah, I think that's even better than the Colbert Stewart ticket I was thinking of. For more of Robert Fugli's interview with Nikki Giovanni, including a full reading of her Rosa Parks poem, go to prairieschooner.unl.edu.
At the site, you can also download my entire interview with Cynthia Hogue, including her reading of her Green Card poem.
And join us in 2 weeks for Episode 5 when we discuss whether creative writing can really be taught in workshops.
Yeah, that should be easy to cover in 15 minutes, Scott. I'm looking forward to that.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner and produced with research support from Robert Fugli, Ted Wheeler, and Marianne Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson and Franny Sprowls. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Air Schooner is produced by Scott Winter and the brainchild of executive producer Kwame Dawes.